All right, good morning. I'll call over the regular session board supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, March 28, 2017, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again and good morning. First item on today's agenda, as always, is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, come on up. And seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll move on to agency reports. We've got Mary Greeley, Home Health Services annual report, if Kyle's here. Okay, so we're going to hold that one and see if maybe he's running just a little late. Consideration of minutes from March 21st.
Move to approve.
Second.
We've got a motion and second. Any notations, corrections, additions?
None.
Kitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed, board.
I so move as listed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson?
Aye.
Kitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel actions passed. Consent agenda, board.
Move as approved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. You guys are trying to throw me off by batting it back and forth. So that takes us. We've got no public hearing items today. So now we're to additional items. And the first one of those is discussion and consideration of Central Iowa RSVP request for $10,000 for transportation program expansion. We've got Kaylin and Deb talking to us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I thought you were just here.
I was. It was November, I think. I wasn't sure. I thought you probably got a copy of this, but just in case.
Yep.
And then a little attachment gives you a little bit of information about it. I'm sure you might not be quite as familiar, so.
Over the years.
Okay.
I'll start by saying that Kaylin had arranged a meeting in December with United Way, the county, city staff to talk about RSVP's volunteer transportation. This is a service that's been funded through the ESSET program now for
2011, probably.
Okay, 2011. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely serving a niche for those individuals who simply have no other source available. It may be that they're not eligible for Medicaid, so they can't use the non-emergency transportation service through Medicaid. They may need to go places that HRDA isn't covering currently for one reason or another. And so it definitely is serving that niche. And this specifically is transportation that would be provided to the Des Moines area for medical appointments, specialty kinds of medical appointments. And Kaylin, as she indicated in her request, had talked to volunteers who are interested in providing this service, and roughly 25 indicated an interest. And so there's mileage reimbursement that's involved, and that's primarily what this funding is used for, because they're not able to ask for a contribution or charge the service to the person who is using it. And so that's how the county funding and United Way in the city is those sources are all used to help support that program. This did go before the ESSET board on February 9th, and they are recommending approval of the service in the amount of $3,000. And I'll turn it over to Kaylin if there's anything else she would like to add to it.
Just that, you know, we noticed an increase in requests for trips to Des Moines. A lot of times it was to see a specialist, and it was existing clients that really didn't have another way to get there. So we did some Des Moines trips, and we were figuring out that it was becoming almost cost prohibitive for us just because we are not able to charge a fee. And so by the time we were reimbursing our drivers to potentially drive 100 miles, depending on where they're at in the county, so that was kind of when we approached Deb and Jean about this and feeling like it's an unmet need that needs to be met. So and, you know, part of the consideration, too, is that when our drivers drive, either do an in-town trip or even in county, a lot of them do not request mileage reimbursement. But we also realize that when they're making trips to Des Moines, that the the percentage of them that are going to be requesting mileage reimbursement is going to go up considerably just because of the distance. And so we felt like this would be a good use of those funds to be able to supplement what we're doing.
And the only other thing I would add is the county does fund the service through the asset process, and the county funds were exhausted as of August.
Wow.
Of this current fiscal year. So that was why we were talking about what other possibilities there would be for the county to assist, since there are folks living outside of the city of Ames and in all throughout the county that utilize the service.
We have over half of the client base are outside of Ames, so we're serving quite a few of those clients in there.
What do we do for the FY18 budget? Did we build anything in for this program, or are we still going to be behind in 18?
There's an increase. Fiscal year 17 allocation was $1,920, and fiscal year 18 is $2,200. That's the county's portion, and that was your request, I believe.
Correct, but we did, because that was done before we started this discussion. But Gene Cressy at United Way did encourage us that after the beginning of the fiscal year, that if we needed additional funds to continue to support and sustain this program, that we could write a United Way special grant that would get us through 17-18, and then we can build it into the asset allocation for 18-19 if we need to.
It does talk about, down in the last paragraph of your request, unallocated 2016-17 funds. That's unallocated county funds that didn't get used by other programs, correct?
Correct, and those are general funds.
Okay. Is there a particular medical provider that is seems to be referring more down to Des Moines? I mean, we've got McFarland that does a lot of referrals internally, but so are there other medical providers?
I would say the majority are probably coming from McFarland Clinic.
Okay.
Most of our medical trips are either sometimes it's to the foot doctor or, the hearing aid center, but most of the ones that are having to refer a client to a specialist are coming from there.
So my last question is, the letter is dated February 6th. That's 7 weeks ago. What took you so long to get here?
Well, we were scheduled for the 7th,
okay.
But then there were no additional agenda items being allowed on the 7th.
Okay.
The 14th is our board meeting. And then the following Tuesday, I can't remember, I was gone.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It was like, just you need the money.
I know, it was scheduling things for sure.
Yeah, welcome to government. Marty, any questions?
No, the story tells itself.
Yeah. Well, all I'd say is that RSVP is such a key provider because of the impact you have, not only on the community, but on our other providers. And so we're so appreciative. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out in my mind, so we had $1,700 roughly allocated in 16-17 for this service. And now we're talking about increasing that by $3,000, so going to almost $5,000 for 16-17. And you told me we went up to $2,200.
For 18. Yeah, it was $1,920 for the current year, for fiscal year 17.
Okay.
And $2,200 for fiscal year 18.
But this is going to take us to $4,700 for 16-17. I'm really appreciative of the United Way, as always, being ready to step up. But I think we ought to pay close attention. This is such a key service that if we need to start really digging to see if we can find a few more dollars for FY18, let's go ahead and figure out how to get that done. Let's take care of this one first.
Okay.
But then
thank you.
Go from there.
I agree with that. I think it's part of a larger transportation issue.
Yeah.
I would move that we approve $3,000 out of the 16-17 unallocated asset funds to go to RSVP to help them reimburse drivers for trips to Des Moines.
I have a second.
We got a motion and a second. I just underscore what Morris just said. This has no budgetary implication. These are dollars that were already budgeted as part of the asset process. They weren't used for another service, so now we're shifting them to this service. Anything further?
Mm.
Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Kaylin, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for it.
Next is discussing consideration of bid tabulation for 590th Culvert Project.
Okay, I don't have a packet up here.
The first one is the Milford 22 bridge, and we double-checked the numbers for accuracy, and they checked out. So I would recommend the board authorize me to send a contract to Peterson Contractors.
I would so move that we authorize the county engineer to send a contract for $114,288.45 and award it to Peterson Contractors for Project LM273-85, the 590th Avenue Culvert.
For a second then, Darren, we have had five bids and we've all come in under. What's going on? Do you know anything on in that corner that you would know about that would give us?
We can get a good price on all of our construction this year, but I would also say that we've kind of developed a good relationship with this particular contractor, Midwest. They've done a lot of work for us in the past few years, and they're somewhat close. I mean, Peterson, not Midwest. Peterson Contractors. We're close. I guess they trust us, so we get really good numbers from them, and they do a good job for us. So I hope that relationship continues.
Marty, at the HRDA board meeting last Thursday morning, which is comprised of supervisors from all of HRDA's service area, we were talking a little bit about construction bids, and they are experiencing the same. In the rural counties, it's closer to half and half, but they are also receiving bids that are coming in under the engineer estimates.
Well, it just leaves that much more money to our road fund to do anything where any unforeseens, and those always seem to fall out of the sky, too. So I'd like to think that we can extend our 5-0 streak as we move through some more bids. So I would second the motion.
We've got a motion and a second. Laura's noted that it's $114,000 is the bid amount. We estimated that the bid amount was going to be $133,000. And so we're appreciative of our relationship with Peterson Contractors and Darren, the way you work with them. Anything further before we vote? Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes a bid awarded to Peterson Contractors. Next item on the agenda is bid tabulation for the 250th Street culverts.
Same thing as followed from the letting for New Albany 21. This is actually a small wood bridge we're replacing with two metal pipes. And we double-checked the numbers, and Peterson Contractors was a low bidder at $46,023.93. So I'd recommend board approve me to move forward with awarding them the contract.
I move that we allow and ask the county engineer to create a contract with Peterson Contractors for $46,023.93 for project LMA217385, which is the 250th Street Twin Culverts.
I second that.
Motion to second. I'll just note that $46,000 is the bid. $89,000, almost $90,000 was our estimate. So almost half there. Anything further?
No.
Olson?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sanders, aye. It passes. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
Next item is consideration of a request for funding assistance from Richland Township trustees for the placement of a bus shelter in Pernal.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'll just quickly introduce it and then have Deb fill you in on some of the details. This item that's before you right now is kind of a repeat of what a previous board had seen. But in this case, we have more details. We have an actual estimate and design in place for what a bus shelter would look like for the unincorporated village of Pernal. Back in November of 2014, the prior board had approved that.
Right.
We just never, it just didn't get constructed.
Okay.
And I think we have more firm numbers than we did at that point in time. Previous board approved up to 50% of the total cost, but we didn't have really an idea of what those total costs would be. So since it's not in the budget anymore, and as a previous board, I wanted to bring it back to you for discussion and action.
So,
Did you get the bid?
Okay, so you have a copy of the bid from Milam, Milam Construction. Basically, what we've been doing is making improvements to the Fernald Park, and a lot of this is at the request of the residents. One of the big topics since I became clerk was we have no place for our kids to no shelter for the kids to wait for the bus. The bus only stops at the four-way stop sign. All children have to go to the park and wait for the bus. So we, if you're from anybody's familiar with the shelter in Kelly, it's basically a duplicate type design. It'll be 6x12. It'll have plexiglass for visibility and a bench for them to sit on. I did ask that it not go all the way to the concrete, but maybe put a lattice type below the wood to protect the wood. We're hoping that this will help the kids. We had found out recently that we have open enrollment kids from Colonesco that are coming into Fernald to catch the bus. So that adds to the number of kids that we originally thought were catching the bus there.
Huh. Yeah, so questions? I guess I'll start with the previous board, and this is really Paul Foote's leadership that brought us to this, but was really excited about participating in a project like this for Fernald. It's a necessary project, and we don't get an opportunity very often to assist our unincorporated areas. And so we, as I recall, and Leanne helped me with this, we approved 50%, and it was our expectation that it was going to be like a $6,000 or $7,000 bill total. So I think it was our expectation that we were going to spend $3,000 or more. Now it's coming in right at $3,000 is the request. But question for it.
I'm surprised that was not done at the time because I don't think much has changed probably.
Well, it wasn't done at the time, availability of a contractor. So it's taken me this long to nail down somebody who wanted to work on this small project. A lot of them want the big money project. So Milam Construction has stepped up and said, you know, we'll help. We'll do it for you.
Great. Good for them. Just to let you know, earlier this morning I was at the Sci-Ride board meeting for Ames, and they were discussing bus shelters at $21,000 a piece. They were a little bigger, but it was shocking.
Well, and I had reached out to Sci-Ride to see if they had any ones that they had cycled out of service that might be available for us, and they told us they wouldn't do that.
No, in fact, it came out this way, just to let you know that they are robbing some shelters of pieces to fix other shelters right now. So with that comment, I would move that we approve 50% of the cost.
Go ahead.
In the amount of $2,447.50 for the county cost to pay for the help fund the bus shelter in unincorporated Fernald. Is that an appropriate motion, Shelley? Does that work?
Second.
Further discussion?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Thank you.
When do you foresee this being done? Did they give you any kind of time?
He's just waiting for me to give him approval. He has time now to start working on this. So I would hope within the next 30 to 45 days.
Okay, the township has money available?
Yes, we do.
Okay. How do you get it done before the end of the school year?
Put it in fiscal year 17.
Better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, Laura, why don't you clarify?
Yeah, I'd like to clarify.
Amend.
Yep.
I'd like to amend my motion to include it in the fiscal year 17 budget.
Okay, so it has to be done by completed by June 30th.
Yeah. Which sounds like it means your schedule.
Yes.
You accept that amendment?
I would second that amendment.
All right, motion and a second on amending it to just to clarify, because I think it was the intent originally that this be part of the of spending in FY17. Olson?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Need you to get all the paperwork and everything in probably by the first part of June in order to make sure we can get everything done.
Okay.
And
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item is... Okay.
Yeah,
okay. I discussing consideration of the application submitted by the City of Zeering for a PSI grant.
Morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I feel like I have a rotating chair next to me. I have a quick PowerPoint presentation. I'll look familiar to Marty and Rick. This is the same one, essentially, that I've given for the past two applications. And I just want to clarify before you start here, is this going to cover, is it the same as the information on our website? I mean, is this basically going to be the same information as on the website? Just exactly.
Yeah, I mean, well, no.
All right.
What do you mean? Is it the
well, I downloaded what was off of the website about the facade program, and I'm asking because right away I see a different header. A different colored header, different. So I just wanted to know.
Yeah, it's all the language that's in the program that I want to just put in PowerPoint.
Okay.
Just some background. The facade improvement grant been in existence for a few years now. This year we did change it up, though, that rather than having a static once-a-year deadline, we have it ongoing without any deadline. The purpose of the program is to really allow city government really see what's happening in their own communities and bring forward projects that revitalize that downtown through facade improvement.
And I need to stop Leanne at this point because what she said is not indicative of what the statement is up there. And I did go on and read the Story County Facade Improvement Grant Program. Per my reading of this, this building is not eligible until there is, in fact, a business waiting to occupy it. So if you go to under the 1-2 eligible applicant section of what we have on our website, it says eligible owners. Are properties are owners of commercial properties and or owner managers of businesses located in a community. Now they own it. And then it says the eligible business shall be a legally established and licensed business in the state of Iowa and conform with all the codes. And then you go down in the same paragraph, it says nonprofit organizations, government buildings, churches, and other religious institutions, tax delinquent property, or a property whose owner has any other tax delinquently, is not eligible we can withhold the funds on that. So all of this together reads to me that they've got to identify a business before they can come up forward, that the city kind of jumping the gun here with wanting to do the facade before there's a business. I mean, everything is goes through the whole policy.
When I got to this slide, I was going to bring that up because the city does own this building. It was acquired through condemnation proceedings. This is a little different of a breed. What's before you today? The past two applicants, they did have a commercial enterprise ready to be in there. In this case, the building, until it's brought up to code and the improvements are completed, they can't occupy it. So that's for a matter for the board's decision today, to discuss our discussion and deliberation today.
So it's a chicken egg.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have an occupant until they get it fixed up. They can't fix it up.
And honestly, it's not very marketable right now in the position in the condition it's in.
I'd be willing to look at if you have someone who's interested knowing that this facade program exists. But when I read ineligible properties include, and then that list goes through, that's a pretty clear statement. And then when you go through everything else with a business.
Well, the way we intended that ineligible properties, it wasn't city halls could come in and do a facade improvement for the city hall.
Then why doesn't it say that?
Yeah, so it sounds to me like if that's what we intended, we just need to clean up the language a little bit. But it makes it problematic for dealing with this one on its face today.
Right.
I would say that this is exactly, and I'm talking for me personally, this is exactly the kind of project that I think are so important to our small towns, being able to take a building that is currently not usable, and get it back to where we can actually have it usable. And I would like to see us as a board really talk about making that as simple as possible. Clearly, it's our intent that we're not doing this for city-owned, city-occupied buildings. But I'm with you, Leanne. I don't think it was our intent when we produced this language to eliminate the possibility of taking a building that is basically derelict right now and bringing it back into usable condition. That said, Ward's right. If the language is clear and it says that we can't do that today with this one, then we can't do that today with this one. But I'd ask that we dig in. So I think this is a project that's worth our consideration. If we don't have a mechanism to consider it today, let's don't consider it today, and let's figure out how we can consider it.
And Karen, I'm in agreement with Rick. I just want to point out that once you start stretching rules that are this clearly written, and it goes all through the whole policy talking about the business, that we should clean it up to allow for situations like this. I do understand that it's going to be easier. Yeah, so I'm good with that.
Karen, putting aside, what are the conversations in Zeering as to what this building would be when it is brought up to availability for whatever?
We've had an inquiry recently in another one of our abandoned acquired properties that we had somebody interested in bringing a business into town, and they were shown this building as well. As a possibility, because we were able to receive the derelict building grants. We were able to abate it as far as asbestos, had it checked structurally. The facade, or the in front of the building, is basically its only drawback right now. Its only liability, if you'd say that, because it has some loose brick, it has some issues on the front, just to make sure that it's safe and for the public and anyone else to be inside. So the intent of the city is the biggest thing is this is a historical building that has been there for a long period of time, and they really don't want to tear it down, leave an open hole where there's nothing there, when there's so many people who have such a fond memory of this building. And with the being new to the city clerk position, I would like to say it's excitement is kind of how I view it. But there's a resurgence of a lot of interest with the Dakin's Lake and the increase of activity and business through town that we may be able to draw additional parties that might be willing and wanting to use that building. And we find that building to be quite the benefit because there's almost two sides to that building. So there could be occupancy on one half of the building and there could be occupancy on the other half of the building, because technically when you step inside, it is two different structures. So, and there would be the capability to have a second story upstairs. Originally, that was apartments, one on each side up above, and then there was a business level. And there were even businesses, as some people remember, down in the basement where they got their hair cut when they were little kids, watching feet, I guess. So there's a lot of excitement to keep and maintain this building standing because of its age and its...
But, so it sounds to me like one of two things needs to happen for us to be able to consider that. Either you guys need to get a letter of intent from somebody who intends to occupy and utilize the building once you're completed. Mm-hmm. That would be one way to get there. Right. The other way, Leanne, is for us to revisit the policy and get our language in such a way that we can consider a project like this before there's occupancy. Right. One of those two things need to happen, and then this needs to come back to us in as timely a fashion as possible.
And Karen, also, you need an elected official to sign this application, not you.
Okay.
Okay, it does say that right on there. Please apologize to the council. I don't know if this came up as the council was discussing this, if they actually had read the rules or if they had received advice from someone saying that we could stretch them. But one of you have two options here.
Okay.
I'm comfortable doing the housekeeping on the verbiage and would like to see. Morris makes a pretty clear conversation.
So this board has the authority to set whatever policy we want to set, but we can't just set aside existing policy if it's either not clear. This place is clear, but if it's not clear, we need to be careful with that as well. So Leanne, I would, regardless of where we go with this, I'd ask you to get these kind of things back to us. If the board's intent, if this board would like to do something a little different than what is written in our policy, let's just address that. And then if anybody up there would be willing to indicate their desire to utilize that building when it's done, that would be helpful to us.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh,
as I know you guys talked about, we're
trying. Okay. Next item is discussion consideration of cemetery training.
Thank you, Karen. Safe travels back.
Okay. A little bit of broken record. A couple of years ago, I brought this issue before the Board of Supervisors, too, and we had identified a company called RIP, which is a very appropriately named. He does pretty intensive training. I'm a year behind on my date on the memo. It should have been 2017. But he comes, he brings two levels of training, one a classroom experience, so sitting down, tables, being lectured to, essentially, and then going out in the field and looking at headstones, looking at record keeping, lots of different venues, or lots of different areas that it looks at. I'd like to actually start contract discussions with this entity. He's very highly recommended. There's actually possibly a grant that we could apply to as well. It's like $250, but that would help with raising the cost. I'm already receiving emails from several individuals very interested in doing this.
We heard it from our township trustees that there was real interest in it.
I would ask that you consider funding up to $1,500 so we can do cemetery training yet this spring. It says early September, but I'd like to try and do it yet this spring in this fiscal year. Or possibly early June.
Yeah, so I think it would be important that we talk about doing it out of this fiscal year. Second one that I would be really interested in, I didn't see anything in the documentation, but I know that Amy's last name, Yoakum?
Yes.
That Amy Yoakum talked about some of the prayer remnants that we have as part of our, specifically our pioneer cemeteries, and I'm wondering if there's a way to incorporate some of what she was talking about with some of the training that he's talking about doing, which I'm understanding his training is more about just maintaining the cemetery itself. Amy is interested in the prayer remnants that are part of it, but it seems to me that those two might fit together pretty nicely.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. I was initially thinking the day-long session where he would do a classroom in the morning and then field work, site visit in the afternoon. Asking someone to do a two-day training session, especially in...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's asking a lot. So I was going to talk to Amy about starting 7:30 early and doing a breakfast as part of that. And it would be a 7:30 to 5 day long session. A really long day, but I think clearly a benefit and need to the township trustees.
So if we budget up to $1,500, it's $1,000, it's $600 for the 1 day instruction, and then you could utilize the other $900 for things like the breakfast and materials and all the
and
things that are needed.
We do need to cover his travel expenses.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'd be an additional beyond the $600.
Okay.
That gets figured out as he, when he tries to do a schedule, events, training sessions near each other. He's coming from Illinois, so that we get more bang for the buck, and then can share the cost of that travel expense with the other entity.
So we were just extending this to the townships with cemeteries in them, correct?
Does
not all the
townships?
Excuse me?
Does every township have cemeteries?
Well, there's no bed, not only all townships.
There are, okay.
There's several townships that don't have any owned cemeteries.
Right. They have not.
But I think this should be open to anybody in our township, but to anybody who has interest in this. Absolutely.
Also, how would you feel about maybe if we asked the attorney's office to give a little presentation for you know, or the legalities, especially if there's someone in the township that has a privately owned one?
Sure.
Just to really make it worthwhile for everyone to suit all the situations we have.
Yeah. Well, on the presentation that Amy gave was kind of enlightening because there are several privates here in the county, if I remember. And it was kind of a wincing moment when you said there was a cluster of people that were talking about the prairie remnants on the backside of Murphy French. And the conversation was so.
Yeah, why do we want to take care of
that? Yeah, why do we care about that? And it's just like, whoa.
So, Leanne, assuming this gets approved, we'd ask you just to work on making it really comprehensive, including Amy. Possibly including Ethan or somebody from the county attorney's office if they could address some of the legal issues. And I think you're 100% right. One day is the right way to do this. Then somebody gives up a day. But really figure out how to make it a full day.
And we also talked to John to see how much flexibility we have for the class. And he's already said for the training participants on-site, we can increase that. To include at least one person from each township if they want to come, so just 15. The classroom, he really does want to limit it to 20. I'm going to see if I'm excluded, and hopefully we can figure that out, or if that might bump up the cost a little bit.
Would he have a ask him to, if he would have a problem with it being videotaped? Because, you know, he may say no.
He might.
Because he doesn't.
And are you thinking of this at McFarland?
I would say we should be able to go ahead and videotape it. Impress upon him we're a government agency, and therefore it would be difficult not to allow video.
What, you think there's something public about what we do, Lawrence? Is that the... I've never heard you say that before. Okay, anything further? Then I take a motion... to approve up to $1,500 in FY17.
I would move consideration of the expenditure of up to $1,500 out of the 17 budget for cemetery training.
I second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion or clarifications? Chitty.
Aye.
Moore, Moholz.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Thanks, Leanne.
Oh, I'm still here.
I'm not ready for the next one yet. All right. Now I'm ready for the next one. Discussion consideration of the draft capital improvement plan. This is Leanne Harper Day.
Yeah.
Feels like it.
This is why I didn't speak much last night, Mommy. Well, what's before you is the draft CIP. I was here a couple weeks ago. I made some changes based on the direction of that meeting. Changed the name of the Iowa State Research Park, and actually said that's the Environmental Learning Corridor. If you look at page 13, under potential funding sources, Lord, this is, I want to make sure I have this right too. We remove TIF when it gets to fiscal year 19 and 20 for that project, and added other funding to be determined.
So that's a broader range.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm comfortable with that. Thank you. And that's essentially it.
All right, question for Leanne. This is, what, the third time we've seen this now?
Mm-hmm.
Third time we've seen this. Any questions? Anything we need to note on there other than we need a new picture of the three of us?
That's right.
Anything else?
No, I agree on the picture.
Oh, actually, which one?
The one in the back of the three of us.
Yeah, we would like.
I think that's right after Morris got sworn in.
Yeah, it was one of those goofy days.
We look like we're all.
We were
having fun and kind of tired and goofy. Yeah.
So. All right. Motion on capital improvements plan.
I so move that we accept this capital improvements plan that covers fiscal year 18 to fiscal year 22.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion to second. Any further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks, Leanne. Discussion and consideration of Story County employee recognition policy, which would go out for 7-day review if it's approved.
Morning, Alyssa.
Good morning. What you see in front of you is the employee recognition policy. The county has never had an actual
policy that covers employee recognition, while in the past we have done some employee recognition. As we look at this, we have kind of switched a few things around in the past few years. The years of service awards have changed. We've kind of narrowed it down and made more defined for years of service, as you will see in the policy. What I did is I just put in there what we currently do. If you want to have any discussion as to why we do it this way, I do take a real close look at the IRS guidelines as far as what we can provide our employees. These would be considered as achievement awards in Publication 15B and also in the other section that talks about kinds of pay for employees. So I want to make sure whatever we develop, we put in here, we either, these items are not taxable, so they are considered qualified achievement awards under the IRS guidelines. If we were to change it up, I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, they just want gift cards and things like that. There are pretty specific regulations in the IRS to deal with those as far as them being taxable wages for our employees. So what this policy does, it just kind of sets up the framework and allows the board to adopt a formalized recognition program, which will be presented by Noelle in a few minutes. So, is there any other questions?
Questions for Alyssa?
You said trying to look at the awards available, and you start out the mug, and then we kind of basically do clocks up till 35 years or above. Mm-hmm. Wristwatch would be a good one.
That's for 35 years.
I know.
This is
I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, I don't know who picks these things, but I guess I would be thinking you might have a little bit more of a buy-in if you would offer up a wristwatch. You know, you basically pick for the employee what they get.
So they pick it. Well, if it's a watch or a jewelry item?
Yeah, just
they
go
pick it out.
His or her?
Yep.
Okay.
We don't tell them the type or anything like that, but we do reimburse up to, it's always been $125. We try to keep it right around that amount.
For the watch or jewelry item, do we pay for the engraving also?
If they want it engraved, there has been times where they don't. It's really tough on some of, especially the women's watches, to get it engraved on that back. I mean, it's small.
We do engrave everything else, and we engrave it how the employee, we ask the employee how they want it engraved. Some will have it with their name, some will have it with their nickname that they're known, or what they're known by here at the county, instead of their actual legal name. So we kind of leave it up to the employees. We want these awards to kind of be tailored to them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're giving them a choice. I think in previous years, they used to have 10, 15 choices each. They just kind of left it real open. We would get into a situation where we find out what the employee wants. We would go to the company, and they would no longer offer that item. So we did kind of narrow it down, and we make sure before any of the information goes out to the employees that we are able to get that award.
Okay.
Are we purchasing locally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, our awards, we use Cyclone Awards and training.
All right.
They've been really good to work with.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
No.
Any other questions for Alyssa?
None.
If not, I take a motion.
With no consideration of our Story County Employee Recognition Policy for a 7-day review.
I would second that.
We have a motion to second. Any further conversation? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Employee Recognition Policy passes and goes out for 7-day review. Come back to us next week.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa. Now, following up on that, we've got Noelle talking to us about Story County Recognition Program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to start with just a little bit of background. In January of this year, Alyssa and I came to you and asked if we could transition the traditional employee recognition banquet to an employee recognition breakfast. And with the approval of the board, we did that, and we hosted our first one in February. I think it's fair to say it was a very successful event. We had almost 100 employees participate in that, and the feedback that we have received has all been positive. So I think it's important to continue recognizing our employees and have a larger presence throughout the year. And so when I was doing some research, I found that in May there is a public service recognition week. And so I think that would be a great opportunity to recognize our employees again with an employee recognition breakfast. This year's week is May 7th through 13th. And so I think it would be a great option to do that and play breakfast again. And then furthermore, I think it would be great to do a monthly recognition for the department. So we would recognize and put a department or an elected office each month. And we would do that by featuring them in our newsletter, ideally with a photo of the department, a summary of what that department does for Story County, and then some testimonials as well. And then we would offer a casual breakfast or afternoon refreshments for that department. And with the help of the board, I would like you guys to help with that and then be there to
Yeah, the thought process here is that when we are recognizing an office or a department, that we would pick a time when they were having a staff meeting or a gathering among their department, and at least one or more of us would show up with the bagels and coffee or whatever we were taking over there, just that extra step to make sure that we're really acknowledging the way we value them.
I like what Noel's done in the repair. Not committing to saying, here, we're going to show up first thing in the morning, because maybe that doesn't work for some offices. And the fact that we dial it in, I think every office operates on its own set of circumstances, and we know that going in. So I would have to say this is likely, if we, on a per-office basis, to have the outcome and the goodwill that was generated by the first breakfast, I can't say this is probably going to be pretty successful.
The other thing to note is that if we adopt this entire program in lieu of what had been traditionally done, the traditional employee dinner, recognition dinner, which attendance and interest had really dwindled over the years, we end up spending just over half of what we have budgeted. So we could do all of this for less than we currently have budgeted for this item.
Correct.
Noel, thank you for the research you did about this. I know as you were putting this together, you went into each month, took a look at what might be good for the department, or if there was a particular week or month associated with the, recognizing them. You know, look at what their timetables might be better. Obviously, you didn't want to throw it for the auditor's department the week of an election. So, thank you, because you really put some thought into this.
No, this is a worthy cause, and if you don't have any other questions, I would move that we accept the Story County Recognition Program as presented today.
Out for 7-day review.
Does this go to 7-day review?
Uh-huh.
This is just a board.
Got it. Yep. Right. Sorry, I was wrong. My amendment. And second.
We got a motion in a second. I'll just underscore everything Loris just said. Noel, we're lucky that you're here. We're lucky the job you're doing. Thank you so much. If there's nothing else, we'll vote on this. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes.
Thank you, Noel. Go again.
All right. Next, we got away from Leanne for just a minute.
Yeah.
Now we're back to County Outreach and Special Projects Quarterly Report. Hi, Leanne.
Hey, good morning again. Broken my quarterly report this time into the different sections of my work program, and this is the same presentation that was on the agenda, so I'm going to just fly through it really quickly and just show you some updates. The work program has several items that are listed up there, and I'll go individually into the CIP today. You did your final action. What I have in yellow is what I have remaining as steps I need to do, either remaining or has yet to be even on reach the level that's on the calendar for my work program. So the next step is to actually start publicizing the CIP and then do the story map, which is a ESRI product, and make a GIS-based product, which I'm actually very excited about having. It's really interactive. Way to portray the CIP, and I'm hoping, I know a lot of entities, including City of Ames, are having a lot of success with this, and it's going to be some learning on my behalf, but Matt's fully committed to helping me. I just volunteered him for that.
And so, Leanne, when you say publicize it, you're planning on what, doing a press release, including...
Yeah, it'll go on our, the website, a press release, all that. But it's going, for now, the CIP has approved, it'll go on the website. Developing the CIP story map might take a couple months.
Okay.
Communication plan, the 50th anniversary of groundbreakings next week. Next item is your National County Government Month proclamation, and then I have a series of action steps I'll be taking next month throughout the month of April to recognize that. I accomplished a lot in this realm. We're getting ready to start scheduling the quadrant meetings. I just do want to clarify with you all that you want those during the day in the springtime and continue with the day in the springtime, the evening, and the fall for quadrant meetings. Getting some direction from you on that.
Yeah, so my concern is we're at the point now where a lot of our people are going to be getting in the field here before long.
Yeah.
And I think originally our intent was to do our spring one before they were getting in the field and then do our fall one as they were out of the field.
Yeah.
Feels like we're a little late for that now.
Well, I was looking actually towards the end of May.
Okay.
That's what I was looking
at. That would work.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Okay. So let's try and see farmers last week. They thought the end of May this year would be better.
Right. Yeah, so more of our intent there was to do one of our trips during the day and one in the evening and just try to hit, it's the old lead a horse to water. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for anybody interested in visiting with us about what's going on in their quadrant to show up and do it.
Okay. To clarify, the yellows are the ones that are now prominent on your calendar, correct?
I'm just now either beginning to work on them or they're later on this year. They're not on the schedule yet.
Okay, so then the white ones, like publish the county news. That was monthly at one point.
Yeah, it starts this month again.
Okay, how many months did we go without it?
I think we went 6.
Okay. Maybe you and I need to check in again with you sooner. I know your schedule has been flip-flopped 22 times, so maybe we'll check in together, okay, and figure out. I don't need my schedule up to date related to communications.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions on communication plan? Cornerstone to capstone, way too much to go individually on this one. Really the highlights, though, I'll be coming to you next month, I think I'm going to take out a month with Community Indicators Project. That's what we start for our annual review. I've talked to Jerry Moore down in Planning and Development. And once Amelia goes full-time, we'll start doing a tour of the cities. We just didn't have enough staff, manpower to go out and do the tour like I did two years ago. Amelia and I are actually will be wrapping up the executive summary and doing some website modifications in the next couple weeks on that one. There's a lot of yellow on the screen, and a lot of that starts to fall intentionally because we want to start the annual review first. And then, but fantastic things such as the solar farm regulations, we've completed that. And so a lot is underway.
Good.
And also possibly as we discuss some of these things that are on here, either the timing needs to move off or maybe they're not applicable anymore. I'm thinking about the Housing Trust Fund. As I learn more about where they are, that's probably not a project that you'll be involved with at all. I think they've got the resources pretty well figured out where they're going to be and where they're going to go for at least the next year to 18 months. Master Transportation Plan, we already talked about that. That's off the table for at least a year, probably. Also, as we start to talk about some of these other projects that are related to several different departments, maybe we all need to get on the same page about where the divisions lie out about what departments want to do themselves, and then when it would be more for Leanne to step in and then coordinate the final one or the communications part of it. But, so I think that some of these may change in their scope.
But, and they always have.
Yeah.
I mean, so I agree with that. They always have. One of the key reasons and one of the things that make us so fortunate, many things that make us fortunate to have Leanne, but by putting these items on her work plan does not necessarily mean that Leanne is the one carrying all the water to get these things done. But she is, in fact, ensuring and facilitating that these things are getting done. And so even some of those items, Laura, that you're talking about that reside maybe more with the departments, I still like having them on Leanne's work program because I feel really secure that we got somebody pushing to get them done when we have that. So a couple ways to look at it.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Connect Iowa. I am really excited that I have some resources in Des Moines. They were able to give me an example of the vertical assets inventory. I was kind of creating that as I went. And there's a city, county up in Michigan that had done that, and I have a SOP now that I can do. So I am revisiting what I've already done, and actually I tackled it the right way. I'm proud of that. But I have some easier analysis that the SOP has provided me some easier way GIS analysis than what I was doing. And there's some more resources available than I thought I had at my fingertips. What this is looking at all the structures above a certain height, water towers, cell towers, whatever, and seeing them as their capacity to have further deployment of broadband or of cell infrastructure to really continue to build the Connect Iowa program.
And but that's not yellow, so that.
And I've been working on that for about the past year and a half.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm just trying to keep my colors straight.
Yeah, and so let's deal with the colors. I take the colors to mean things that you want to make sure you're pointing out to us, not necessarily if it's not yellow, we're not working on it.
Yeah.
And so I think you and I are seeing yellow differently.
Okay. And possibly the board, we've asked her to do so much in so many different areas. Mm-hmm. That maybe the three of us need to start looking at prioritizing about, you know, which ones should move up the list, which ones should maybe be concentrated down to.
Well, we do that with her work program
every
year. And then we come in and we make amendments to that work program. So Connect Iowa is a great example. Leanne, how many years have you been working on this? Three?
Well, more than that, because I remember sitting in on the initial meetings.
I wrapped it up in December of 2014, and the plan, I think we started actually working on it in 2012.
Okay.
So it's been ongoing.
Yeah. And we just, as we get new information or we get new resources, it tends to bubble back up. But, Laura, I think you're 100% right. We need to stay on top of not only Leanne's work program, but everybody who reports directly to us in their work programs. And I think we're doing that. We've got to continue to give our staff enough flexibility to be able to get the task done that we've asked them to get.
Right. The COOP cost, you'll be seeing me in the next, I think I'm going to wait till May, to bring you an update of where we are and really start the evaluation for next year. I want to get through the exercise,
yep.
The scenario, because at this point, I don't know if that will involve activation of the COOP cog.
Right.
None of us know that, and so I want to use that as a test, too. But there are some things that I will be bringing to you, like the driveway kits, and then there are some things, like you said, right, that I'm not necessarily the babysitter of the items, but they fall on me to make sure that someone's addressing them. That's the procurement policy. I'll be tagging that list. There's some HR policies that need to be developed, but those will all come later this spring. And I do continue to work with ISAC. We're anticipating rollout of the disaster recovery toolkit at the end of this year. But that's when I need a break from all the other stuff. I go to that. I work on stuff.
Thank you for taking that on.
watershed management planning. Really excited that we have a contract signed today. Pat will be down here next week to really start scheduling everything out. They're well underway with Kigley Branch, so we're going to meet on that next week. I am getting so many phone calls and emails from entities excited about this and what Story County is doing from the watershed assessment end of things. And then floodplain management program, the CRS program. This is the stepchild I have. This takes an enormous amount of my time. And I've tried to actually put an hour figure on it, and I can't. Even yesterday when I was out, I spent a considerable amount of time on the phone working with the individual that is trying to write an insurance policy and mortgage. And it's down on the properties in the floodplain. And when she wrote the policy a couple years ago, they missed it. And the mortgage lenders, it's going to be a very expensive policy to write. And so I find myself every day I'm touching floodplain management, every day, whether or not it's permits. The CRS program, I'll have the annual review coming up in August, and I'm fully prepared for that. I'm actually looking forward to that, having that audit, but it does take an enormous amount of time. Unfortunately, I'm right next to Matt, though, because as I use GIS a lot when I do my floodplain management. We've been able to build the layers to really make it my time more effective then, too. And I'm looking at floodplains. I have a lot of items that are in yellow here, but in this case, it's a little bit different. They're all in some way, in some form or way, underway. That's repetitive. I'm always doing something on this list. So it's a little bit different breed on this one.
When you get a request related to floodplain management, like you're saying about somebody trying to write a policy or whatever, is it the type of request that you normally just have to drop what you're doing and move over to that and then come back?
In a lot of cases, yeah, especially if they're closing in the next day or two.
What could we do to help you not have to do that anymore?
I think it's already on Jerry's program that he can be a second set of eyes on floodplain management. The permitting end of things is clearly understood when people come in and apply for a permit that it's probably going to be a couple weeks, if not a month, before I get a permit issued. Because it isn't simply do measurements, it's looking at a lot of elevation data, it's pulling out a flood study in some cases, and getting into the engineering realm of things. I mean, it's not just, yes, it needs setbacks and we're good to go. There's a lot more entailed to floodplain management and the permitting. I mean, there's a definite process you need to go through for issuing, not the actual issuance of the permit, but the review of the permit. The really exciting thing, though, is our floodplain maps are not very good, and we will, like I emailed the board a few weeks ago, we'll be getting really, really good floodplain maps in the next, I'd say, 18 months, and we'll go through that process, notifying property owners. I'll have Darla help me actually here in the next. I think I want to send the notices out to all the properties in the floodplain again early part of May and get through the hopefully the spring weather season in April. So, any questions on floodplain management? If I'm pulling out my hair, chances are I'm doing floodplain management.
How close are we to having Jerry certified and ready to go? Do we know that?
I'm asking Deb.
I talked with him about this last week, and the exam is in September, and so he would be starting to study up for that here June, July.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Let us know if we need to buy you a wig, Leanne.
That's like the item.
I don't know off the top of my head.
That could be a joke right there.
Oh, just... leave there.
Part of my work program includes public information officer duties too, along with Deb and Alyssa, and developing my work program, working with Melissa Spencer and Keith Morgan. There were four specific items. This is that, as I have time. I've been working on them, putting the press release. Actually, I have the templates ready for all the press release, not for all. For several different scenarios, I have templates for press releases. We need to actually, the three of us, sit down and figure out like a joint information center where that would be, and then come to the board with some recommendations. But I've definitely been giving thought on each of these, and then I have a spreadsheet I've developed that you need this, you don't need this. I'm putting together my own personal PIO kit, and then I can pass it on to others.
I appreciate it if you ran those templates by the board before, okay. You know, or we could come see for us. I think, you know, more eyes on what needs to go out to their media, I think.
And then the miscellaneous items, probably the most time-consuming one on this one is I've been studying every Monday morning for my CECD exam, Certified Economic Developer, and I will sit for that next February. But this is kind of a catch-all, everything from helping Colo with their housing development to doing Maxwell Comprehensive Plan. I actually just got an email from Steve Gass last week trying to schedule that out now. And other things like Leadership Nevada. We'll have a Leadership Nevada session this coming December. And we might change that up again, still do the tour of the Justice Center, but we're getting great feedback, great results, but they keep on saying they sit too much. So we need to figure out how we deal with that.
That was a joke. Okay. What about the animal shelter RFPs? Where are we on that?
So Deb just sent an email this morning that Sue got a. I kind of stepped out of it right now. Mm-hmm. I helped develop the first RFP, and I'll help definitely with the second RFP. But Sue indicated that the architect's coming out this week or next week?
Monday.
Next week.
Sorry.
And start siding and everything.
He's going to come out at 1 o'clock on next Monday to start doing some measuring.
Got it. Mm-hmm. You have here about update and reprint the county services sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once again, maybe communication and running it by, you know, or take a look at it before you do that.
They are already printed, but yes, Mike, we can. Yeah, that was something that had been ongoing. I think Darla started helping me with that last November, December, and we handed out to department heads and elected officials actually last fall.
And what is a quarterly newsletter to dealers?
That's something that when I first started in this position, I went around and met with elected officials and department heads. Renee Tweet asked, just saying, how can I help you? And that's something that she asked that at some point we sit down. And she and I just have not been able to connect, and this is one that keeps on getting put on the work program year after year to see when she and I can connect and do it. I talked to her, I think it was about 4 weeks ago. I'm trying to think of events down there. She's still interested in doing it.
But it would be more treasurer specific, and it would be you making sure that county branding,
yeah.
Right?
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
That's a good picture.
Yeah. We did the Story County, the Ames Day of the Capitol. And so Deb and Drew, we actually got rid of how many cups? 50-some? They were the hot ticket item. They were very well received, especially the candy in the cup. And that display board is downstairs in the entryway.
And that's flexible in what we can put on there.
Right? My intention is we have a small table that is just for outreach purposes, and I will be changing that next month on a monthly basis, changing the topic.
And when you came to me and asked about that table, and you had suggested the 4-foot table, that was downstairs. Do you think, I'm sure we still have a receipt, is it possible that if it was in the 30 days, we can go back and ask for a 5-foot table so that the board spreads out more?
I can find out, talk to facilities management.
Okay. I mean, every day I walk in and I see that, and I see it kind of scrunched in.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Yep, I will. I'll check with facilities. Do you remember, are we with her?
Lowe's. Because I think a 5-foot would better display the information.
Well, you seem like we used to have a table that lived in this room. can't remember why we.
It's only a 2.5 footer, but I'll be happy to lend it to you.
I know. Well.
So this is that county services sheet that we've been doing. We've now had it for like 4 years, and we update it, and we really had to update it this year because we still had CLP stuff on it. Working on the blood drives in both May and August. And then urban renewal area, the one that I'll have coming up is be bringing to you very soon here is how we're going to fund the second phase of Iowa State Research Park. And then next Tuesday, in fact, Tuesday morning is I've sent invitations to the cities and the school districts and anyone else actually wants to attend for a kind of 101 on the urban renewal program.
Okay, now when we had the workshop we added as a draft form for housing as eligible and then nonprofits as a possible another agency or if we don't get fit to come in. So when you're bringing in the cities next week, are you talking to them about that?
No, my understanding was that we were going to keep the program as is this year.
Right.
And then change that up next year.
So the training that for next week is only about for applying this year, right?
Okay.
Thank you. Just wanted to know.
Well, it doesn't look like you got anything going on. It's a good thing lightning didn't strike your
house. I was just going to say, I'm so appreciative of the board for the support and the flexibility you're allowing me. Last week, the week before, especially this week since we're moving today and possibly tomorrow afternoon to the hotel, and then when we have to return back. So thank you very much, all three of you, for the support and flexibility in that regard.
Absolutely. Questions for Leanne?
I'm amazed how much I see her hands on everything, because the thing is, much moves from her desk to ours in and back again in both a work in progress and finished one, and we ask a lot of her, and I'm glad to see that Jerry's going to pick up. One thing I've picked up in the year, coming on a year now that I've been here, is that floodplain management has always been the oversized presence in her world, and you see that Jerry's going to pick up on that too, I think. You know, Loris, I get it when you sit there and say, where are you on this and on that? I think you move that one component out of her day on an oversized presence. I think you'll see the progress in the way that you'd like to see going forward. And I think we have a fix in the works.
Right. And I think more of my questions, and I'm sorry if they came out of it, I was nagging you, because I think you held it together well. I'd have been in tears some days and had been really passionate in other days with what's been going on with you. In kind of the personal realm. No, my questions or my comments are more related to that getting some more clarification out to everyone, especially internally, about where we see Leanne's role fitting in some projects, so that there's not maybe miscommunication out there in part about what actually she'll be doing. Maybe it's not the nuts and bolts work, and we don't anticipate her to do the nuts and bolts work, but all of a sudden there may be a thought out there that she'll be coming in and taking on a project in the future that departments would maybe like more participation in. You know, then there's also, yes, about just in scheduling. We've got so much on our plate now, and just like me asking about communication, to taking a look. I'm not interested in doing the communication. I'm interested in seeing not only to reinforce that we've got a common brand going out, but that what have we got that we can maybe make our printed materials look more interesting and attractive. They tend to be word heavy. We are government, so we need to get out there with that new camera, things like that. So anyway, but thank you. No, but please, I'm not nagging you.
I didn't take it that way. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, asking questions and making sure that we're involved where we need to be involved. The thing I would say in reference to what you're talking about in trying to more clearly define what Leanne's role is on any specific project, I think it's project specific. I think we're going to have certain projects, and we do this now, where we hand it to Leanne and we say, Leanne, this is yours, figure it out. And we have other projects where we say, okay, Leanne, you're the one coordinating these multiple departments and people to make sure we get where we're going. I think we've got a combination of both, And I think we make those determinations kind of as we start to deal with each issue rather than trying to make it too far ahead of that.
I agree with that, And it will be issue-specific, project-specific. I cannot speak today. I'm so sorry. Well, I'm on meeting number three.
Well, it might be some of it right there. But you know, I guess, you know, just my conclusion on this one is the fact that on a one-year basis, I mean, there was nothing to see her trooping out of the building to go to the pipeline as it was being constructed. I mean, that took her away from her desk in a lot of ways last year. And until that got concluded to come back to everything, it was still waiting anyway. In addition to whatever we place upon her desk, it just gets...
So the previous board knew, in creating this position and ultimately putting Leanne in the position, we knew that there was a lot of work that was not getting done or was not expressly getting done. It might have been accidentally getting done. That would fall to the position. I'll speak for both Wayne and Paul. We didn't have any idea what this was really going to turn into and how big it is. And frankly, you look at it from today's eyes, I don't know how the county got by without a position like this. We didn't know that at the time. We just felt like we were missing on some things and we needed to get it done. Leanne, you've done a tremendous job. We're fortunate that you're in that role. I hope you're still enjoying it. And thank you. I know there's days.
She smiles anyway.
I approach every day as it's a new day, and it's I've learned so much, and I've had so many really wonderful experiences. I thought I would have gotten one day. I actually went in a gator to do a floodplain inspection in the morning. I didn't even have the staffers. And later that afternoon, I was on the roof of the building looking around touring to help with the tower RFPs in one day. And I just, you know, that's a wonderful experience to be able to actually take home and share with my family then and just take a lot of takeaways.
Well, as I recall our conversation when we were talking about you moving into this position, I think I remember saying it'd never be boring.
Yep.
It may not always be fun, but it'll never be boring.
It is not.
All right. Anything else for Leanne?
Nope.
Thank you, Leanne.
Are you done now, Leanne?
No, yes.
All right. Proclamation recognizing April 2017
as right.
National County Government Month. I don't have any paperwork on that. Am I supposed to?
There's a proclamation.
So I missed it somewhere.
Okay, that's what it looks like.
I missed it in my pack. Oh, just found it.
That's just a one-page difference.
You making us through this?
This is something we do annually. And this is NACO, National Association of Counties. Celebrates National County Government Month annually, the month of April. I think we've done this now, 3 years, 4 years? Just a simple proclamation. The template comes from NACO, so every county is adopting the same proclamation with, you know, replacing the applicable county. Do you want me to read it?
Sure, go ahead.
Proclamation for National County Government Month, April 2017. Brilliant ideas at work. Whereas the nation's 3,069 counties serving more than 300 million Americans provide essential services to create healthy, safe, and vibrant, and whereas counties move America forward by providing health care, administering justice, keeping communities safe, creating economic opportunities, and much more, and whereas Story County and all counties take pride in their responsibility to protect and enhance the health, welfare, and safety of its residents in efficient and cost-effective ways, and whereas through National Association of Counties President Brian Deslodger, Brilliant Ideas of Work Initiative, NACO is encouraging counties to focus on the most innovative programs and services that strengthen communities, and whereas in order to remain healthy, vibrant, and safe, America's counties provide public health, justice, safety, infrastructure, transportation, technology, environmental stewardship, and economic services that play a key role in everything from residents' daily commutes to emergency response, and whereas each year since 1991, the National Association of Counties has encouraged counties across the country to actively promote their own programs and services to the public they serve, and now therefore be resolved that
You want to read that paragraph?
Britt Sanders, Chair of the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim April 2017 as National County Government Month and encourage all county employees, all county officials, employees, schools, and residents to participate in county government celebration activities. One such celebration could be our 50. Can you believe this building's 50 years old? So this building's 50 years old, and we're going to celebrate that next Tuesday morning at 9:30. And I'll be refreshing.
Yes. And I am going to the Nevada Central Elementary in April to do some planning outreach with the kids as part of National County Government Month. We'll do daily tweets and social media postings, spreadsheets developed for that. I've got How Government Works, them sending again, like I do annually, to the social studies and government teachers. Heard positive feedback from that. There's a series of events we have going on.
Outstanding. So do I have a motion to adopt this proclamation?
So moved.
I second.
Any discussion? Chin.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Be it so resolved. Thanks, Leanne.
I'm done.
Public forum number two. You sure you don't have something for us in public forum number two? Opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on the agenda. We're not going to take any action because the old requirements don't mean all, but we might take action in the future. Anyone? Seeing no one moving the microphone. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements. Lawrence.
Okay. Last Thursday, I mentioned already, I did attended the Heart of Iowa Regional Transit Agency board meeting. A special note for us is that the contract for bus storage in Ames is getting ready to expire, and the HERTA staff has reached out to North Grand Mall to look at the possibility about moving and basing the Story County service out of there, which I think would be great. And I support because it would, there's then city buses right there. That's a change point. So anyway, I've offered also to contact them all as a board member of HERTA just to let them know that we're interested in seeing what we could work out with them. The buses are not stored in any barn now, okay, so they're just sitting out on a lot. And so it would be still just moving to a different lot and make that some space there. Okay. So, Friday, I attended a roundtable discussion on House File 597 that is being supported by the Iowa Land and Water Legacy Group. And this bill is co-sponsored by 10 Republicans. We don't want to get really political here, but I do support it, and I did issue a statement that Iowa Land and Water requested. They were doing a press release in support yesterday, but I issued it as an individual supervisor, not as a county.
Yeah, Wayne, I'm on record as supporting I Will as well, as our 62% of the Iowans that voted for it. Marty, I don't know if you've taken a position or if you care to take a position.
No, I said this year. I like your proposal. I have it up on my paperwork of a full cent increase because I think you have pots that you need to fill, and we shouldn't be sitting there beggaring anybody. The Iowa citizens have spoken. This should be already done. We should not be having to keep reaching back for it.
Sure, and clearly, if anybody's been around me, I like my proposal as well, but my proposal hasn't been voted on by the people of Iowa, and the I Will proposal has. Clearly, the people of Iowa are accepting of the concept of 3/8 of a cent increase in sales tax, and it is absolutely appropriate that would go to conservation, and some portion of that would go to water quality issues. And so you've got a board here individually who's in full support of Iowa Lawrence.
Mike Cox did also go to that meeting. There were people from four counties, three either conservation directors, I think two conservation directors, and then a chair of another county's conservation board. We had people there from Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever. We had a couple of state activists related to water quality issues. So it was a good discussion. Saturday, I apologize, I did not attend Reggie's sleep out, as I said last week I would. That had to do with some...
Boy, those who did are hearty souls.
But I actually had to do with some rescheduling of a family issue. Sunday, I was at the dispatcher's office interviewing Colin Chinnery
for the upcoming Our Story, and it was fascinating as I was sitting there. It was all Q. You don't say the Q word all the way because think about it. It's a word we use every day, calm and Q. So anyway, and while we're sitting there, it got not so Q. There was a suspected fire in a trailer park just north of Ames, but that ended up to be a false alarm. Of course, I'll let you guys talk about the rest of our day today. And Wednesday morning, I'm going to go visit a second capo invited by a second farmer. So
Ben Sampson?
Yeah, Brian Sampson's going out there tomorrow morning. Thursday, we're doing the Drainage District Workshop in Ames. And then that Thursday evening, I'm speaking at ICCI, Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement Workshop. They're looking at some advocacy they want to do around the Master Matrix. I'll be once again presenting with my experiences as a sole supervisor rather than representing the county. And then I thought maybe on Friday I'd catch up on paperwork. So I'm done.
Schedule yourself. I mean, looking at your calendar at any given time, it's just like you are coming and going between meetings, and this is the job you do in between the meetings.
Right.
So.
The new Explorer, or the old Explorer, new to me, is working out quite well as an office on the run. So.
You do have a lot more space.
Yes, sir.
Yes, me too.
Please share with ICCI, and I'm sure Evan will do a good job of this, but just I think we're the only county so far who's dug in to try to see what, if any, impacts we can have on the Master Matrix. It's probably fairly frustrating to some of those in the ICCI to see the realities of what it is, but I believe we ought to get some acknowledgement at least for being willing to step out and explore what can be done.
I will.
So, and feel free to take credit for actually prompting that discussion.
Absolutely.
Here, you know, you're the one that brought that to the fore. You brought the parties together, and the discussion was had at your behest.
Thank you.
No,
positive,
I mean, I'm just saying,
discussion.
It's okay to give yourself some props on this when you go to speak, because the thing is, I'm encouraging you as a fellow board member to do that.
Marty, announcements.
Well, we got drainage districts like nobody's business. Tonight will be the an interesting one, I guess, that we have the drainage. You know, I'm just trying to sit there and think. I didn't look at my calendar that well, but okay, CICS last week. We've got here coming next week. We've got a jailed version. John Osmondson is going to be doing a request as a presenter down in Newton next Wednesday. That Carla and I will be attending. We've got some other functions here coming up that on the planning stage. We've got Central Iowa Juvenile Justice. We've got a meeting here coming up too over at my friend Jerome's office to talk about. We had skipped the meeting. Trying to get quorum, trying to get Spence, everybody to get their schedules synced up. It's not as difficult. And the Board of Health is looking, Kristen is trying to put together a deep dive on the role and the duties of members of the Board of Health. And it should be substantive, and there should be a lot coming out of that, because we're trying to not make it more than just a cursory type of advising consent board, that actually there's some responsibilities that Kristen and
John and
Keith are trying to lay before us, and to sit there and listen to the tutorials and to read through the FEMA stuff that's rather thick in government ease and find out what the rules are. So I kind of look forward to see what that becomes.
You mean Margaret?
Well, being on the Board of Health.
Oh, okay, sorry. Right. Got confused. Okay.
So Marty mentioned drainage districts. The largest project Horry County has ever undertaken on a drainage district is $800,000. The largest one we've ever considered is just over $1 million. The one that we're considering tonight is $4.9 million. I think it's reasonable to expect that we will have a full room of farmers who are going to be a little on edge as we start the meeting. And we'll deal with that as we deal with it. One of the things that strikes me every time I hear you guys talk about it, it's really fun to sit here and see the role of supervisor through you guys' eyes again after having been here now 7 years. But in visiting with some of the other supervisors from around the state that serve on various boards with me, our role here in Story County is just a little different than supervisors in other counties. It just is, both via structure and via personality that we have on the Board of Supervisors. And it is really, really fun to be part of a group like this where I feel confident that we're going to tackle the tough issues and we're going to see what we can get done. So thank you guys for that. If there's nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.